This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you another beautiful song today and continue with our series of messages on Bible doctrine as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, continuing our discussion of the doctrine of salvation, and this subtopic will end next Tuesday. But before we get to all of that, I would like to read for you and remind you about the scripture that is highlighted on our Gospel Hour wall calendar for this week. It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. And remember, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and called out to Simon and Andrew. And he said, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Right now, let's enjoy the music and then Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Have your Bibles open at John chapter 9, and after I pray, we'll study. Lead us, Father, in Jesus' name as we study today, save souls for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, if you're listening to my voice and you do not know whether you are saved or not, I'm discussing today with you Bible doctrine. doctrine concerning salvation. Yesterday in chapter 8, we, of course, I know some of you didn't hear the program, but we studied chapter 8, and I emphasized Jesus declaring himself God, the Word, the power of God unto salvation in flesh. He said, when you lift me up, my Father will tell you who I am. John 8, 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I speak as the Father hath taught me. Then he said, I do those things, I do always those things that please him, that is the Father. Now, Jesus was attempting to get across to the people that he was their Savior, he was their Messiah, he was their Redeemer, but they refused to believe. And he said, when you lift me up, then you'll know. My Father will tell you who I am. That is, through the miracles and the unusual things that happened at Calvary. Now, I said all that to point out in chapter 9 that a boy born blind, a sinner, and he was a sinner, because he did not know anything about Jesus. He knew nothing about being saved by grace through faith, and I doubt very seriously if he had anything to do with religion at all. I doubt it very seriously. He met Jesus, and Jesus opened his eyes. Now, I'm not going into that, but when he presented himself to the people, his own parents and to the people, seeing, they asked him who opened his eyes. And he said, a man named Jesus. And in verse 24, they said to the man that was healed from blindness, they said, give God the praise. Give God, Jehovah, see. Give God the praise. This man is a sinner. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, see. They said, we want you to praise God for opening your eyes. They believed that God could open a blind man's eyes. They believed that. And they said to this man who was healed, do not give Jesus the praise. You give God the praise. He's the one that opened your eyes. Now, that's what Jesus has been trying to get these people to see, and they refuse to see, that he is God in flesh. They refused to believe it. They refused to accept it. And they refused to receive him as their Messiah. So they said, don't give Jesus the praise. Give God the praise. Jesus is a sinner. And in verse 25, he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But listen, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas I was blind, now I see. I'm going to make a strong statement here. And if I can cause you to become upset, you need to be upset. If I or any other minister on the face of the earth can make you doubt your salvation, you don't have any salvation, you have religion. If I can make you doubt that you've been saved, then you have religion. You don't have salvation. There's not a minister on the face of the earth that can make or force or cause or compel a true believer to doubt salvation. If you're born again, you know it. Now wait. This man said, now you say Jesus is a sinner. Now he said, I don't know about that, but I know one thing. I was blind, now I see. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, if you want to read that or mark it in your Bible, it's in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. So you see, every sinner is blind And the blindness is much worse than physical blindness. You're blind in your mind, your spirit, your heart. You're blind. Now, when Jesus saves you, he opens the eyes of the spirit. He opens the eyes of the mind, the heart. And you see and you know that you're saved. Now, wait. I didn't say you'd shout. You may. I didn't say you'd clap your hands. You may. I didn't say you'd weep. You may. I didn't say you'd laugh. You may. I didn't say you'd do anything. I said you'll know. You'll know. Some people react emotionally, that is, outwardly, when they're saved. Others do not. The emotional stir has nothing to do with it. Salvation brings light to the soul. Salvation brings sight. Light, sight, and life. If you are saved, you're raised from spiritual deadness, and you cannot have your eyes opened and be raised from the dead and not know it. Now, I want to emphasize, I am not suggesting an emotional stir. I'm not suggesting a shouting experience. You may have one. You may have had one when you were saved. But that doesn't mean you're any better saved than I am, because I didn't shout when God saved me. I wept, but I didn't shout. I didn't clap my hands. I didn't jump up and down. I didn't run like the man at the pool. He ran into the temple. He leaped, and he praised God. I didn't do that. But I had an experience that I've never forgotten. Not a shouting experience, not an emotional experience, but my blinded eyes were open, the mind, the heart. I wasn't blind physically, I was blind spiritually. And God opened my eyes, and God raised me from the dead, and I know it, and if you're saved, you know it. Now, beloved, if that upsets you, you need to be upset, and I'm not sorry that I've upset you. Because there are tens of thousands of people, just like these dear people to whom this boy is talking, there are tens of thousands in America who are religious and they belong to churches and religions and they've been baptized, but they have never been born of the Spirit. They've never been saved by grace. And if you ask them, do they know that they are a child of God, they cannot answer, yes, I know. I know I'm saved. Now let's see what happens here. I want you to watch this now. The boy's not saved yet. He said, now he's talking about physical eyes. I'm talking about spiritual eyes. He's not saved yet. He is healed, but he's not saved. All right, now let's see. Why do I say that? Do I have any scripture to prove that? We go right on down. And they talk to him. And finally, I'm saving time. You read all of these verses. Read all of chapter 9. Finally, they literally cast him out of the temple. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And so Jesus goes over and listen at verse 35. Jesus heard they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him. Now this is Jesus talking to the boy or the man that was born blind, and now he's healed, and he can see, and he didn't know who it was that opened his eyes. That is, he didn't know the man, or that is, he knew that it was a man called Jesus, but he was blind, and he told him to go to the pool and wash, and he went, and he washed, and when he came back, of course, Jesus was going on teaching and preaching. Now, Jesus finds him, and after they cast him out, and Jesus said unto him, I'm reading verse 35. Jesus asked him this question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Watch it. He, the man blind, healed the man that was blind. He answered and said, who is he? Lord. Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord? That I might believe on him. He said, no, I'm not a believer, but if you'll tell me who he is, I'll believe on him. Watch it. He answered and said, Who is it, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said unto him, Thou that hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. That is, the man worshipped Jesus. And Jesus didn't rebuke him for worshiping him. Note, please. Jesus didn't rebuke him. No, because Jesus is God in flesh. And we're to worship God. And Jesus was God in flesh, standing before the man. And the man said, If you'll tell me who Jesus is, I'll believe on him. And he did immediately. And when he believed on him, he worshiped him. All right. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they would see not might see. All right. And that they which see might be made blind. In other words, I came to the lost sheep. I came to the people to whom God made the promise through the prophets. But they refused to see, they refused to hear. Now, some of the Pharisees, verse 40, which were with him, heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Are we blind? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. In other words, they said, We know this fella is a sinner. We know he's a sinner. See, they didn't make any, they said there's no guesswork about it. They said, We know he's a sinner. Jesus said, If you were blind, you'd have a chance, but you claim to see. You judge me. You say I have a demon. You say I have an evil spirit. You say I cast out demons by Beelzebub. You say I am an illegitimate. You are the people who claim to see. You'd be better off if you were blind. You'd have a chance, but you don't even have a chance. You claim to see. You're blind. I've come to the blind. In other words, I have come to seek, and I've come to save the lost. You remember in John 8, I didn't emphasize it, but they said, how can we be set free? In verse 33, this is John 8. I didn't emphasize this when I spoke on this particular portion. They answered, We be Abraham's seed, never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? See? They said, We are not in bondage. We are free. And you can't set us free because we're already free. And you can't free a free man. So Jesus came to set free the captives. This blind man was a captive and he knew it. And he said, Now, if you'll tell me who Jesus is, I'll believe on him. And he did. And he worshiped him. How was the man born blind healed of his physical blindness? How was he saved? How did he become a Christian? Exactly as I did, exactly as you did if you are, and exactly as you will be saved if you're ever saved. How, preacher? He heard the words of Jesus. He believed the words of Jesus. He received the words of Jesus. He was saved, and he worshiped him. Jesus simply asked him, Do you believe on the Son of God? And the man answered truthfully, I don't know who he is. Now I'm telling you who he is. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the only begotten one, the prophet promised by the prophet that should come, spoken of by the prophets in the Old Testament. I'm telling you who he is. He came, he lived, he was lifted up, they buried him, but death could not hold him. He rose again, and he sits today at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for you and for me. So the boy said, the man, I don't know how old he was. He said, I'll believe on him if I can find out who he is. And so Jesus said, You've seen him. and he's talking with you right now. Jesus said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And that's it. He was saved. That's right. I expect to meet him. I expect to shake his hand. He said, "I believe." Then he worshiped Jesus. Believers worship. Believers worship Jesus. They do not worship a church, a minister, an evangelist, a program. They do not worship dogmas, tradition, religion. They worship Jesus. Believers worship Jesus. I want to ask you something. Can you remember an experience? Now, I'll guarantee you this fella, however old he was, he never, never, never forgot the day that he met Jesus. What do you say, Brother Green? He met him literally. You will too. You won't see him with a physical eye, but you'll see him with a spiritual eye. I don't mean you'll have a vision. I mean that he will be so real to you that you'll know he lives in your heart. There is no such thing as salvation without assurance. There may be a time when you're not happy and you do not have victory as other times, but regardless of how sad or depressed or defeated you may feel, you will still have that deep, settled peace, that deep, unshakable assurance in your heart if you're truly born again. And if you do not know you are a child of God, as surely and as positively as you know you are seeing with your physical eyes. And of course, I have some dear unsighted friends physically who do not see with their physical eyes, but they're born again. I'm speaking to precious unsighted people now who know beyond any shadow of doubt they're born again. But I'm talking about you people who can see. If you do not know you're saved, just as surely as you know you're seeing the light of day or the darkness of night, then, my friend, I'd hate to trust your salvation. I'd hate to die in your shoes. I'd hate to die with your religion. There is one thing you can know and know for sure. That is that your sins are washed away and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you do not know it, God grant that you bow your head and close your eyes and ask God to save you now. Father, save poor, lost, religionist church members who've never been born again. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Save every soul that's under conviction. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, asking you not to turn off your radio or computer yet, because I have some information I want to share with you. Yes, the preaching is over today, but we still have a little bit of time, and I want to spend that time telling you about our new gift offer T. Just the letter T is all you need to ask for if you would like this offer, and I know that you will. It contains three books by several different authors. The one book has several different messages by different authors, and it's all available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $5 or more. Now, please send more if you can. As you know, we exist and get the radio programs out just on your donations. We're not underwritten by any group, so your free will donations keep this program going over the air. So if you could send $10, $25, even more, I urge you to do so. Pray about it, ask the Lord's guidance, and do as He directs. And I know you will be blessed, and I know you will learn much and be blessed by the books in this offer. Now, what am I talking about? Well, in Gift Offer T, first we have Calvary's Cross. Now, this book is 130 pages long, containing 8 messages by 8 different authors. Someone sent this book to my mom many years ago. She was so moved and blessed by it, she had us reprint the book for everyone so we could all learn and enjoy this book, Calvary's Cross. Sermons by Dwight L. Moody, C.J. Spurgeon, and others. I know you will recognize the names of the great men who wrote these messages. It's all about Calvary and Christ's suffering on Calvary and what it means to us. Then we have Bible Messages, a book by my father, Dr. Green, 9 messages in 157 pages, a hardback book. Finally, The New Life in Christ Jesus, written by Dr. C.I. Schofield, the same Dr. Schofield who put the notes in the Schofield Reference Bible. It's a hardback book containing 9 chapters, such as The Inner Life, The Imparted Life, The Tragedy of the Inner Life, The Delivered Life, The Larger Christian Life, The Spirit-Controlled Life, and so on. Great, great messages, 9 in all in this book. So, to get all 3 of the books, just ask for Gift Offer T and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.